The committee is very powerful, as you know. It's not the Director General of UNESCO that takes the decision, it's the committee itself, and that's only 21 states parties. So it's a very small group that is very influential. And the convention actually says it should be a professional body. And it says states members of the committee shall choose as their representatives persons qualified in the field of the cultural or natural heritage. That's actually in the convention. But at the same time, it is an international treaty. It's a political treaty. And so you do have diplomats there. And so it's the question of getting the balance. And I guess what you're saying is you think the balance isn't where it should be. And I wondered if you had any examples of that.
Yeah. So in my experience, the balance wasn't there at all. Hopefully in the early days, the 21 members really were appointed persons based on their expertise linked to the World Heritage aspirations. By the time I got there, most of the delegates were diplomats, permanent delegates to UNESCO, which is a very nice job, but it has no need to have any kind of expertise. There are some exceptions, but I haven't seen too many. And so I was disappointed at the level of expertise. But then I thought, naively the first time, all right, they're diplomats, and they will listen to the careful and honest broker advice from their advisory bodies. I knew exactly the process that IUCN people did when they made their recommendations, once they did a deep dive into the nominations. And it wasn't, just like the Director General of UNESCO, it wasn't the Director General of IUCN's decision. So, examples. I mean, the worst one is China, but I'll give a lighter one first. There was something in Auvergne in France toward the end of my tenure at IUCN, and we didn't think, we at IUCN or my scientific committee dealing with this, didn't think that that particular nomination had the outstanding universal values, and we recommended it not to be accepted, at least not then. And then I had a very interesting and difficult discussion in French, of course, with a French permanent delegate to UNESCO at the time. And he said to me quite honestly, Madame, I am not an expert in these things. I'm a politician and I just want to do this for political reasons. I have no idea about those values that you're pushing. But to go back to China, 2010, China had put in a very, very big a nomination for a site, a huge site, putting together several existing protected areas to become a natural World Heritage Site. And we sent a huge scientific group to look at this because this was a complicated nomination. And our recommendation was that it was not acceptable to be a World Heritage Site, at least not then. And I had a visit from a huge delegation from China. Well, and I remember saying to the head of that delegation, the former chair of the committee, World Heritage Committee, that aren't you proud of the fact that this is one of the few conventions in the UN world which is really based on these scientific criteria to decide what actually has universal, outstanding universal values with all the criteria. And he said, yes, he was very proud, but he thought that their nomination deserved it. And I didn't flinch on this, but they didn't withdraw it. And we made, and I was there, and my group made a very thorough report, which everybody had received in writing. And the vote was to accept this nomination as a World Heritage Site. So in writing, the way the convention should work is excellent. But it's not, the reality is not that. And I think that's really sad.
You didn't ever go to any of the general assemblies of states parties,
did you? I did. I did here in Paris once.
Oh, did you?
And
okay.
I remember speaking at the assembly, but I think there too, I just looking from the podium, I felt that most people weren't really engaged and didn't really understand. I'd like to say something else, if I may, about the structure of the convention. I understood and I was sympathetic to the Chinese when they said to me, you know, we have very few sites. For many years, by the way, in my offices around the world, I had the World Heritage map. It's true that if you look at France, if you look at the map of Italy, Spain, for example, it's full of dots, whether cultural or natural. And it's true that the other parts of the world have very few. And I thought that perhaps there could have been a more just way of changing the rules a little bit so that countries that hadn't started to do the nominations as early as others could perhaps provide more nominations per year. And the other thing is, I also thought, and I mentioned these two recommendations at that States Parties meeting in Paris, I also thought that having the committee meet every year was really putting everybody under a lot of pressure, and that perhaps every 2 years would have been really just as good. I mean, I saw how much our people, what they had to do every single year.